Welcome to the Triumphal Feast Podcast, a ministry of Elder Bryce Lowrance, speaking to you from Brentwood Hills Primitive Baptist Church in Fort Worth, Texas.
And if we find ourselves to be one of those that is in the deep and miry clay of this earth and we are hurting, and there seems to be nobody to come and help, remember there was a star that appeared in the east. Remember there was an angel that appeared to the shepherds.
Welcome to the Friday edition of Triumphal Feast. Today we will finish the story of the wise men visiting Jesus. Today's podcast returns to Matthew chapter 2 and picks up the account as the wise men leave Herod's palace and follow the star once again.
They're following the star. They don't know where it's going to end up. But we know that Jesus is back in a house here in a minute. Tells me he's not in the barn anymore. And we know that more than 40 days have passed. And that after those 40 days, they went back to Nazareth. And so this is probably, Jesus by this time, I think is at least 7 months old, if not nearly 2 years old. The reason I say 2 years old is because when the wise men don't go back and report to Herod, what does he do? He kills all the infants under 2 years old. Okay? So maybe he added a little bit to it because he thought their timing might be off. But Jesus at this time is around 7, 8 months, maybe a little over a year old, closer to 2 possibly. And when they were come, this is verse 11, Matthew chapter 2, verse 11. And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshiped him. Now we're going to get to their gifts here in just a second. Look at what God does for these wise men. These men are not fully educated in the religion of the Jews. Perhaps they had some writings that Daniel and some other prophets had left there. Perhaps they had some, even a whole entire Old Testament that a scribe had left there. But that's not the focus of their religion. The focus of their religion is on the stars. And when you come to a house to go visit, at that time, it was only proper to go and visit and come into a house when the husband was there, when the father of the house was there. But they go in, and what do they find? They find Mary and Jesus. Joseph's not there, and it's not improper for him to not be there because Joseph is not his father. God is his father. I don't know how much these wise men understood that, but when they entered into that house, that had to hit home. Hey, here's the mom, here's the son, where's the father? I think they probably went back and read some of their Jewish writings and probably found some answers. Their reaction immediately was that they fell down and worshiped him. They come into the house of a poor carpenter and they bow down. Actually, it says they fell down. I don't think they did some kind of regal thing of tipping the hats and going through ceremony. I think they saw their king and they fell down as fast as they could at his feet. That's amazing to me. Men who had spent their entire lives with their faces up studying the stars now have their faces in the dirt at the feet of a toddler. And when they had opened their treasures, They had a lot of stuff. These guys were rich. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. I agree with 95% of what I've heard about taught, what I've heard taught about gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And so I'm going to speak some of those things to you again, and then I'm going to tell you what I think is really happening here. They are bringing gifts to a king, just like the Queen of Sheba brought gifts to Solomon. They're honoring him as king. Gold, obviously, represents royalty and purity. Frankincense, one of the most expensive perfumes, also represents prayer. Okay, so they're offering him, "Thou art the king. We're offering you our prayers." Look at the change in these men. Then myrrh. Just about every time myrrh is mentioned in the Bible, it's mentioned as a spice, but what kind of spice? For death, burial. It was used in the embalming of the body. So you have a representation of this is the king. You have a representation of prayer going to him, which means they're seeing him as God. Do you see that? And they know he's going to die. But I think it's more simple than that. Who did they just leave before they went and saw Jesus? A madman. And they're warned of God in a dream to not go back to Herod. And so they departed into their country another way. After Herod finds out from the wise men where Jesus is, what's he going to do to the wise men? He's going to kill them. When they're warned of God in the dream, I think God tells them what is going to happen. Look at the marvelous providence of God. What happens in the days right after this? What does Herod do when these men don't return? He kills all of the children. God is going to call Joseph and say, "Joseph, take my son to Egypt." And Joseph's going to say, "Okay, Lord, but I'm flat broke." No, you're not. Three of the most expensive things on the earth at that time were gold and frankincense and myrrh. These gifts were presented to Jesus as symbols of who he was, but I think more importantly, the Lord loaded their pockets so that they could get out of town. By the providence of God, this poor family that couldn't even think about a trip down to Egypt can now get down there, pay their expenses on the way. It's not going to be another one of these things where they show up poor and can't get a hotel room. They're going to be able to make trade. Also, if you're going to go on a long trip and you've got time to plan, you're going to prepare some meals to eat along the way. They don't have that kind of time. They don't have the kind of time to prepare for a long journey. They've got to get out quick, and they've got to get out now. How many of you have ever had a circumstance like that where the need was not there yet, but the Lord provided before the need was there? And then this huge need came up and said, "Oh, well, that's why the Lord gave that to me." Okay? I'm telling you that because God still works the same way today as he did back then. He provided for this young family to get Jesus out of town, to get him out of Judea, so that Herod could not get his hands upon him. Some marvelous, marvelous things that we find in this. That the Lord would take men. You notice I haven't mentioned how many there were, because the Bible doesn't say. The Bible doesn't tell us how many wise men there were. But I know the term wise men means there's at least two. because it's plural. But if we study a little bit of Persian history, these fellows traveled in groups of nine. Okay? So probably, but you know what? There could have been three. Okay, I've always found it interesting when people start debating whether there were three wise men or not. Well, certainly not, because just because there's three gifts doesn't mean there was three wise men. No, it doesn't. But there could have been three. It's kind of a non-issue. We're kind of missing the point. What we're missing is that we have these men that are taken out of this false religion and even had the title of sorcerer, but they're brought to worship the King of Glory and recognize Him as God. Folks, these were children of God. How do you know that, Bryce? Because God talked to them. God doesn't talk to the wicked like He talks to these people. Why would God warn a wicked person, hey, this wicked king is going to come kill you? He wouldn't care. These are His children. He has changed them. He has brought them out of darkness into this marvelous light. Look at the wondrous pattern of the nativity of our Savior. When the world has leaders whose children are born, the tabloids printed up with all sorts of stories, the moment that it happens, it runs around the internet, around the world instantly. But the King of Glory came to earth. The first person to find out about it was Zacharias, remember? Zacharias was told, you're going to have a son that is the forerunner of the Messiah. Elizabeth finds out. Mary finds out. Mary comes down and visits Elizabeth. So far, only a handful of people. And for that, they're people that nobody knows. There are literally thousands of men that had offered incense in the temple, just like Zacharias did. He was nothing special. Wasn't like that everybody, he wasn't the high priest. Nobody knew his name. He just happened to have, the lot fall to him to offer incense that year. Providence of God again. After that, Joseph and Mary travel. Jesus is born, and who finds out next? Shepherds. Let me ask you a question. What's a sheep smell like? What's a sheep smell like? Thick wool? Yeah, not pleasant. What's a fellow smell like that sleeps in the field with sheep? It smells like a sheep. And the field and the mud and everything else that he's been out there in the field with for months. Here's my point. Shepherds were outcasts. Okay? When David's brothers told him to go back and tend the father's sheep, what were they saying? They're saying, you're not worthy of fighting this battle. Go back and do a servant's job. Okay. These men, people needed their sheep, but they didn't want the men around. They weren't allowed into the palaces. They weren't allowed into the nicest places. They had a job to do, and that's all anybody ever wanted to see them, is when it came time to go buy a sheep, they had to go see a shepherd. Other than that, they were outcasts. But God sent the message to them. Have you ever felt yourself a nobody? Or an outcast? The gospel's for you. That's the pattern, folks. The gospel's not for those full of themselves. The gospel is not for those that think, oh, I'm doing just fine, I don't need any help. The gospel is for those that are rejected by the world, because, brethren, this world is not our home. So the gospel tells us, Jesus came for you. The Lord sends 104 million angels. And the shepherds go worship. And they go tell folks. But you know what? We don't have a whole lot of record after that. Other than people know that Jesus was born in Bethlehem and that he grew up in Nazareth. The people forgot what the shepherds told them. What happens after the shepherds? Mary's alone for about 40 days, comes into the temple. Now, if you look in a children's storybook or you look in a children's coloring book about the presentation of Jesus in the temple, you're going to see Mary, Joseph, Jesus, and Simeon, and Anna. Five people. That's not all that were in the temple. Okay, the temple was a busy, busy place. There were probably hundreds of people there. But the focus was on five. Let me tell you, folks, if you feel like you're lost in the crowd, the Lord knows exactly where you're at. If you feel like nobody knows who you are, the Lord knows your name. And He can grant to you an amazing gift of saying, hey, Grandpa, you're going to see the Messiah before you die. Or, hey, Grandma, go look over there. That baby that fella's holding, that's who you've been looking for. Jesus came for people like that. So when I feel like an outcast, or I feel like I am alone, or I feel like nobody knows who I am, I need to remember that's who the Lord came for, is people just like me. Not only that, He came to men that were in a religion that was diametrically opposed to the religion of the Jews. Okay? It was exactly opposite of what true religion was, that focus on the heavens rather than the Creator of the heavens. And the Lord turned their hearts. What am I saying? I'm saying, brethren, the Lord's people sometimes wear suits. Sometimes they're homeless. The Lord's people sometimes sit in a primitive Baptist church. Sometimes they're sitting in a mosque and they need help. The Lord's people are in every nation, kindred, tongue, and people. And it is our job to let our light so shine that they can see it. And when they come and ask us for that hope, of the reason why we have this hope, we need to tell them. Because to have the idea, well, this is a person I know I can talk to because he looks like a Christian. What does that mean? Did the shepherds look like Christians? Did Joseph and Mary look like Christians? Did these wise men? Okay. They probably took off some of their priestly garments. But folks, they probably still had a whole lot of that Zarathustra worship all over them. And the look of it. It is not the color of our skin. It is not the city in which we were born. It is not who our parents are. It is not what church we go to. It is whom God chose before the world began. And how many people are worthy to open that book and look on the names? Just one. So that tells me I don't know. And that fella that doesn't look so appealing to me just might be. That person that has persecuted me in the past just might be. Because what did the Apostle Paul do before he made Christians? He killed them. Don't assume anything evil about people. Pray for them. Spend time with them if you can. But in particular, when you see somebody cast down, tell them what the Bible says. Yeah, you're cast down, but you're not destroyed. You are weary and you are weeping. That's the reason that Jesus sent a comforter in his name. What hurts us here in America today is what is called Christianity on all the airwaves and cable television and satellite. That if you're following God, then you'll be rich. When the Bible says, not many rich follow the Lord. The Bible tells us that he came to the poor. As a matter of fact, that was one of the prophecies, is that the poor would have the gospel preached to them. Now, I'm not telling you you're not a child of God if you're wealthy. What I'm telling you is that's not the definition of what a Christian is if you're wealthy. There's going to be some wealthy ones. There's going to be some poor ones. There's going to be some black ones. There's going to be some white ones. There's going to be some from the Middle East. So what we need to do is, children of God, we're not making other children of God. We're going and finding them with our smile and with our joy. You say, well, they're not like me. You know, the lawyer asked a question. He said, who is my brother? Remember what he was really asking? Who am I allowed to hate? Jesus' answer was, you're not allowed to hate anybody. Now, I'm not saying that you invite a dangerous person into your home. What I am saying, though, is love overcomes so many things. Sacrificing ourselves for the benefit of another person is acting like Jesus Christ. We find time after time after time that the Lord visits the outcast. He visits the poor. He visits those that are in false religions and brings them out. Perhaps, brethren, it is you that the Lord will use to bring somebody out of Islam. Perhaps he's just showing you that you don't want to be part of Islam. He can do both of those at the same time, by the way. What I'm saying is the God that's working here in Matthew chapter 2 is still working today. He still touches the hearts of his people regardless of their circumstance of life. And so if we find ourselves in a position of joy, we need to be looking around for those that don't have joy and help them. And if we find ourselves to be one of those that is in the deep and miry clay of this earth and we are hurting, and there seems to be nobody to come and help. Remember, there was a star that appeared in the east. Remember, there was an angel that appeared to the shepherd. Say, well, Bryce, God's going to send giant stars and 100 million angels? No. I'll close out with this right here. Remember the story of Elijah. Elijah had defeated how many priests of Baal? 300 of them? For a bunch. Okay, so we'll call it several hundred. And Jezebel came after him, and he runs away crying. And he hides himself in a cave. You remember this? Which, by the way, do you know what mountain he went into? It's called Mount Horeb, but you know what the name is that you and I know? Mount Sinai. He went back to where the law was given, and he hid himself in a cave. And God sent some things. He sent an earthquake, didn't he? But what does it say? God was not in the earthquake. He sent a whirlwind, but God was not in the whirlwind. Then a still, small voice, basically saying, Elijah, why are you here? Brethren, if we are weighed down by the circumstances of sin and sorrow in this old world, listen for that still small voice that's saying, why are you here mourning when I sent my son to die for you? Because you're weeping right now is the reason that my son came so that you won't have to weep anymore. The reason that you are, the fact that you're hurting now is the reason I sent my son to hurt for you so that you won't have to hurt anymore. The feeling that you have of being alone now, God's saying, my child, I sent my son who was alone and died on the cross, alone to the point that he said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? God is speaking to you in that still small voice. When you're alone, when you're poor, when you're caught up in something that you shouldn't ought to be caught up in, stop and listen to how God is speaking to you through your heart. Blessed are they that mourn, for what? They shall be comforted. Brethren, when we feel like that, that is the time that the gospel is most important to us. It's important to us all the time, but when, honestly, when things are going well in our jobs and in our families, the gospel doesn't seem like to be as big a help, even though it is. When it's the most help to us, though, is when we've had an argument with our spouse. One of our kids isn't acting right. When our job's not going the way we want it to. When our car breaks down. When we have health problems. That's the time that we need to run closer to the gospel. Don't run back to Sinai. Don't have it where God's saying, why are you here looking for something in the law? Just turn toward grace and understand I've taken care of all of this. And you're allowed to stop crying. You're allowed to stop worrying. You're allowed to smile, even though everything around you looks like it's falling apart. You're allowed to not panic, because I'm going to provide what you need. Out of the riches of my treasure. You think those wise men had some treasures, brethren? The Lord owns the cattle of 1,000 hills. It's all His. And He is a good Father. And He gives when we are in need. The lesson that we have of the wise men is, yes, they came and worshiped Jesus, but it's a radical conversion of those men. It is an awesome providence to Mary and Joseph to be able to bring Jesus down to Egypt. And it's another testimony to us folks that don't fit in with the world. And honestly, Primitive Baptists don't fit in with most religions. That's a testimony to us that that's where the Lord has His people. By the strange folks, by the people that don't act like everybody else, don't look like everybody else. That's okay. That's okay.
Victorious God, what can we pray for?
If you would like additional devotional material related to the sermon series More About Jesus, please visit my personal website at lowranceministries.org or our church website at bhpbc.org. Until next time, may the Lord bless you all, is my prayer.